Now, you can't have missed clocking that 2009 is Charles Darwin's 200th birthday year, and it's 150 years since the publication of Darwin's profoundly radical, profoundly influential study on the origin of species. As part of the many events that are happening around the world to mark these anniversaries, there's an exhibition just opened here at the Ian Potter Museum of Art at Melbourne University. It's called Reframing Darwin, Evolution and Art in Australia. Jeanette Horn is the guest curator for this show, and she's also the editor of a book of essays with the same name that's just out too. Jeanette, what's the focus and intention of this exhibition? What are you trying to show?
Well, I suppose in general we're trying to show the profound impact of Charles Darwin on the visual arts in Australia, beginning with the very early material from the 19th century, following the voyage of the Beagle, moving through the 19th century, looking at the impact of scientific debates on art, then moving through to the 20th century and through to the postmodern period, where we look at the work of what we're calling post-Darwinian artists.
All right, well, we'll walk through some of that, but let's start here in this first room of the show where we get some early European representations of Australia from the 1830s, and thereby two artists who were directly associated with Charles Darwin. They're Augustus Earle and Conrad Martens, and they were on the Beagle, the HMS Beagle, for part of its five-year expedition around the Southern Hemisphere that, of course, the young Charles Darwin was on as a scientist. Now, this is, of course, more than 20 years before Origin of Species is published.
Yes, I can tell you a good story about Origin of Species. When I was doing some work in the Natural History Museum in London, one of the curators showed me a letter written by Charles Darwin to a close friend, which said, "I have a manuscript that may be of interest to the scientific community. It's under the stairs at Down House." Now, it was dated 25 years before the actual publication of Origin of Species, so that shows you just how long Darwin held on to the manuscript before he felt able to publish it.
So I guess that's why you've included these colonial paintings by Conrad Martens and Augustus Earle?
Yes. The work that the two of them have produced is absolutely fascinating, I think. It shows the real interest in absolutely accurate natural history illustration and producing works that captured the landscape, the people, and also the plants and animals in incredible detail, and also very beautifully rendered in many cases.
And these paintings and drawings by Conrad Martens and Augustus Earle, they reflect artistically, I suppose, the milieu that Darwin was also a part of and that was forming his thinking at that time that led to Origin of Species?
I think they're all part of the natural scientific revolution that was occurring in the 19th century, that Darwin's thinking was at the peak of, in a way. He was at the apogee of the developing thought around the origin of humankind, which, of course, presented such a challenge to contemporary science and also, of course, Christian thinking about the creation, and profoundly challenged creationist narratives and continue to challenge those narratives.
All right, well, let's move to the next room in the show and to the end of the 19th century. Now, I know, Jeanette, you have an interest in Tom Roberts, one of the Heidelberg School painters, and he, of course, of Shearing the Rams fame. Your special interest, though, is in a much-debated portrait by Tom Roberts, a portrait of an Aboriginal man, Charlie Turner, from 1892. Now, tell us about this painting. First of all, maybe describe it to us, then we'll go on to talking about what it's got to do with Charlie Darwin.
Yes, it's a portrait of an Aboriginal man. He is probably from Queensland, probably a tracker. There was certainly a Charlie Turner who was a tracker in Queensland, and we think that this may be the same person, but we're still working on that. We're not 100% sure. This portrait shows an Aboriginal man in deep reflection. It's a very sad portrait, and you can see that the subject has been crying, because you can see a line of tears down the side of his face. And I've been looking at this portrait in relationship to Tom Roberts' interest in Charles Darwin. Now, we know that he was very interested because he makes reference to Darwinian ideas in his letters. And I have been looking at this portrait in relationship to Darwin's book, The Expression of Emotions in Man and Animals, which Darwin published in the 1870s, his last great book. Now, he had a correspondence with 13 people living in Victoria on the subject of the Indigenous people of Victoria. And one of these was Alfred Howitt. Now, Howitt was a subject of Roberts's portraiture. He painted Howitt's portrait in his own studio. And Roberts was the most intellectual of the Heidelberg School artists, I think you'd say. We'd see by his letters and by his writings in the press that he was very engaged with the artistic and the scientific debates of the day. So my argument is that I think Roberts probably was involved with the scientific debates around Darwinism in Melbourne, and possibly around the material that was being sent to Darwin about Australian Aboriginal people.
And how does this portrait demonstrate that?
Well, because there's a whole chapter, there's several chapters on the expression of different emotions that Darwin wrote, and one of them is about melancholy and sadness, and it makes references to how the different races of the world express sadness and melancholy. And there are long quotes from Victorian correspondence about the way Aborigines express sadness. And I think that it's quite possible, especially since the second edition of The Expression of Emotions appeared in 1890, which is exactly at the time when the portrait appeared. So I think that it's possibly the case that he was attempting to paint an image of an Aboriginal person expressing emotion. It's a very unusual portrait in his oeuvre, because there really isn't another that's like it. In general, he doesn't paint emotional subjects. His white subjects don't really show much emotion either. He's a portrait painter, and normally the expression of a person having their portrait taken is very placid and relaxed, rather than frowning or sad. So this work has puzzled people for a long time.
Is there an element in the melancholy expressed in this portrait of an awareness of being a member of what was seen certainly then as a dying race?
Yes, the reviews of the painting that appeared in the Sydney Morning Herald after the work was acquired by the Art Gallery of New South Wales talk about the painting as a record of a vanishing race. So that was certainly a very current view. And I think that Roberts may well have been trying to represent that as well. But I think it's probably more specific than that. It is so clearly about sadness that I think it's also about the emotions, perhaps as well as the passing of the race. But then, of course, it's very important to remember that the race didn't pass at all. In fact, I think there are more Indigenous people in Australia now than when Cook arrived. So, you know, of course, Aboriginal people didn't die out and aren't going to die out.
Well, as we mentioned, Tom Roberts is one of that group of painters known as the Heidelberg School, or the Australian Impressionists. Were any of the European Impressionist painters also at that time responding to Darwinian ideas? I mean, I know this is sort of outside the scope of this exhibition, but I am interested.
Now, that's a terrific question. I've just been actually in Cambridge, and I visited the Fitzwilliam Museum while I was there about a month ago. There's an absolutely fantastic exhibition on at the Fitzwilliam called Endless Forms. It's a very big show that looks at the impact of Darwinian thought on international art. So it's three or four times the size of this one, even perhaps more than that. But what struck me as very interesting about this show is that the curators have looked at the work of some of the French Impressionists, such as Monet and Manet, and they're arguing that Monet, for example, his Brittany landscapes, which show rock face in a great deal of detail, were responding to the interests in geological research that was taking place at the time, and that was also so much a part of Darwin's own interests. Also, Manet, there's a portrait in the show of Manet which shows him with some of his academic colleagues, one of whom was a specialist in Darwinian theory. So the curators are also looking down a very similar kind of avenue in a way. And it's very interesting because we've all been working independently on this and we haven't been in touch with each other. So it's clear that what I think is going to happen in the next couple of decades is there's going to be a lot more focus on art and science, especially in the late 19th century. And I'm sure that there'll be books coming out about the impact of science on the Impressionists, which has been an area that really has sort of been neglected, despite the fact that we know that, they, for example, that they were so interested in light and accurately, you know, scientifically representing light. So I think that's the way that research in art history is going to go in the next couple of decades.
Fascinating. Okay, let's move upstairs and leap forward 100 or so years. So, Jeanette, at the end of the 19th century that we've been talking about, when Tom Roberts was painting that portrait of Charlie Turner, the Darwinian concept of evolution was still very much contested. But here we are now, really in a gallery of works of the present day with contemporary Australian artists. And though evolution certainly isn't universally accepted now, I think you'd have to say it's been largely absorbed by most Australian people. So you'd expect most of these artists would have grown up with Darwinian ideas as pretty uncontroversial. So how is Darwin figuring? Now, you have a work here, a couple of works in this show by Julie Rapp, and one of them is one of her big digital colour photographs. Do you want to describe this image first of all?
It's a humorous take on a natural selection. It's an image of a lady's legs and feet, and you see that her heels have grown stilettos.
Yes, it's bare legs and feet. She's got red painted toenails and these skin heels.
Yes, and sort of so the joke is that in order to enhance her perhaps attractiveness for both sexual and natural selection, her body has grown high heels. So it's a joke on Darwin's theory of sexual selection, I guess, and it's very funny, and it's very apposite in relationship to contemporary Darwinian theory, but it's also making a little bit of fun.
Well, another well-known contemporary Australian artist who's interested, I guess, in strange new bodies is Patricia Piccinini, and you have some drawings here of hers of some very strange-looking sort of mutant infants. What's she on about in a Darwinian sense?
Patricia is a very complex artist, and it's not easy to summarise her work very quickly, but she's very interested in contemporary science, contemporary IVF, the impact of new technologies on the future of the human race, I guess is a way to put it. And her work often represents strange kind of mutant animals, people animals, that she sees as possibly emerging in the near future, some of which are quite disturbing. There's also a sense in which we feel empathy towards these figures because they're often very sweet. There's a very, once again, a strong emotional pull.
Yes, so they're not entirely dystopic, her images, are they?
No, they're not. They always have some dystopic qualities. There's always a mixture of dystopia and not quite utopia, but they're also very positive and you want to love them. There's a sense of human engagement with them. And I think Patricia's very worried about what's happening with the species and I suppose about the fact that evolution is now being so thoroughly engineered that we wonder whether there will continue to be evolution as we've known it or whether human intervention's going to, if not destroy evolution, change it irreparably. And that's her major concern.
So these are works, really, Julie Rapp and Patricia Piccinini and other artists in this part of the exhibition that are reflecting a kind of post-Darwinian world.
Yes, the post-Darwinian body, this term has appeared in scientific literature. And it's also now starting to appear in artistic discourse as well. And in fact, Barbara Creed's article on the contemporary Darwinian work in the exhibition
Is this in the book that accompanies the exhibition?
That's right. In the book of essays that accompanies the exhibition, has actually talked about the works of these artists as showing a post-Darwinian body. And she may be one of the first to apply that term in this kind of a way in an artistic context. So, but it's, of course, happening all over the world. Artists are working on these subjects everywhere.
What do you think Charles Darwin would have made of the world that artists like Patricia Piccinini and Julie Rapp are reflecting and critiquing here?
I think he would have been profoundly worried about it, actually. He was a very modern person, so perhaps not, but it's hard to imagine Darwin in Downhouse in Kent walking, doing his daily walk and looking after his vegetables, being entirely at home with what's happening in the 21st century.
He was, after all, a man of the 19th century.
Yes.
And the exhibition Reframing Darwin, Evolution and Art in Australia is at the Ian Potter Museum of Art at the University of Melbourne till the 1st of November. There's also the book of essays with the same title, and details for both of those are on the Artworks website. Jeanette Horn is the curator of the exhibition and she's edited the book, and she's Professor of Visual Culture in the School of Culture and Communication at Melbourne University. Jeanette, thank you.
My pleasure. It's been great fun.
And Amanda Smith with you here on Radio National, abc.net.au/rn. Coming up in Artworks, crocheting a coral reef.